Hello, everybody. This is Pete Armand Grant with another edition of The Grapefruit Agenda from the Treasure Coast of Florida, where we summarize, analyze, scrutinize, and sometimes ostracize the fake news of the day. Like grapefruit, guys, we're sweet and sour. Grapefruits are sweet and sour, too. We're sweet on conservatism and sour on liberalism. So from the grapefruit capital of the world, we bring you a piece called The Illegals Are Flying Like Eagles. That is to say, they're flying over the wall and landing in our airports. Oh, yeah, they're flying over the walls now. I heard this rumor that was out there. It's not a rumor now. This is Associated Press. Associated Press, a few days ago. In his Super Tuesday victory speech, former President Donald Trump elevated false information that had gone viral on social media, claiming the Biden administration secretly flew hundreds of thousands of migrants into the United States. Listen closely, grapefruiters. Was it so secret? AP story out of San Diego, they say. Elliot Spaggett from the Associated Press. Elliot, never heard of him. Many posts sharing the claim referred to a report by the Center for Immigration Studies, a group that advocates for immigration restrictions. It said the administration refused to list individual airports where people arrived under a Biden, quote, parole program that allows Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans to stay in the U.S. for 2 years. U.S. Customs and Border Protection each month publishes the number of migrants admitted under the program by nationality. This information is available on its website and in press releases. It does not list arriving airports, however. Trump said during his speech, today it was announced that 325,000 people were flown in from parts unknown. Migrants were flown in airplane, not going through borders. It was unbelievable, Mr. Trump said. I said that must be a mistake. They threw 325,000 people into the country illegally. They flew them in over the borders and into our country. AP continues, but migrants are not being flown into the U.S. randomly. Under a Biden policy, in effect since January 23, up to 30,000, grapefruiters, listen closely, up to 30,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela can enter the country monthly if they apply online with a financial sponsor, could be an NGO from the United States government, an NGO from the government, a financial sponsor, and arrive at a specified airport, paying their own way. Paying their own way. Really? We trust that. Biden exercised his, quote, parole authority, which, under a 1952 law, allows him to admit people only on a case-by-case basis for urgent humanitarian reasons or significant public benefit. So these are the fact-checkers. So the fact-checkers are saying they're not flying them in secretly. They're not flying these people from Venezuela and Cuba and Haiti in secretly. No, they're flying them in legally. They're just not putting it in the paper. They're just not putting it out there in the media, grapefruiters. So Trump was wrong. They're not doing it secretly. No, they're doing it in the open. 325,000 people from Cuba, Venezuela, and Haiti flown in over the wall. Over the wall. Flying like eagles, these illegals. So it's all out in the open now, people. So the question is, why isn't this a story? How is it possible that the FAA won't be asked a question about how these people are being flown into airports all around the country, unknown airports? But there are flight workers, there are pilots, the grounds crew. Are they all sworn to secrecy? How do they not report this? Are they paying them to shut up? Does anybody know, anybody who works for an airport? The desk has been in the middle of the night. These are the flights that go into Westchester County, middle of the night. Some reports are up there, but maybe they're told to shut up. How can they put a lid on this? How can airport workers all agree not to say or go to a newspaper and say, we have these people coming from all over the countries, these countries, Nicaragua, Haiti, Cuba, in the middle of the night, and then bust away. We don't know where they're going. We don't know where they're coming in from. We don't know how legal they are. What questions aren't these people asking from the grounds crews, from the pilots? Do they have stewardesses? Are they serving champagne on the Nicaraguan flights? How is this happening, people? Why is there no journalism covering this story? So here's a rebuttal, another side, the darker side of this immigration problem, invasion, phony news. Here's Imprimis. This is Imprimis by the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation has a college, the Hillsdale College one of their institutions, and an immigration crisis beyond imagining is the title of an article in Imprimis. Imprimis is the newspaper that they function every month. I think it's every month. So here's what they say about the illegals flying like eagles. In 1960, the Eisenhower administration began counting the number of foreign nationals apprehended or encountered by what was then called the U.S. Border Control when crossing into the U.S. over its southern border with Mexico. These figures have been published and closely monitored through the years, and there has never been anything like the numbers we are seeing now. A human tsunami of previously unfathomable size, Border Patrol has had to handle more than 7.6 million border crossers in 36 months, has smashed every record, with each year's numbers exceeding the previous year's record in stair-stepping fashion. Of the over 7.6 million illegals, not undocumented, not new invitees, not part-timers, undocumented, as if they have documents in their own country. They're not undocumented. So illegals encountered by Border Patrol since January 21, the number allowed to stay inside the U.S. is somewhat north of 5 million. This is allowed to stay. These are not the gotaways. These are the ones that are allowed to stay. But with the percentage of those allowed to stay now approaching 100%, if current trends hold without deportations, the total allowed to remain in the U.S. under the Biden administration will reach 10 million by next January. 10 million people documented by us, the undocumented, who do have documents. You feel me? The U.S. has experienced surges of illegal immigration in the past, but they have been brought quickly under control by implementing policies to deter, block, detain, and deport illegal immigrants. Just heard a quote by Chuck Schumer from 10 years ago. Illegal immigration is illegal. It's wrong. Obama did the same thing. So did Clinton. They were at the border. They're not at the border. They thought about the border and said, we need to stop the illegal immigration, so they can block, detain, and deport illegal immigrants. Not this time, though. We can't block them now. To put the current numbers in perspective, consider that Jay Johnson, an Obama lookalike, President Obama's Director of Homeland Security, told MSNBC that in his time of office, MSNBC, when the number of illegal crossings was relatively low, he considered it bad if apprehensions exceeded 1,000 a day, because anything more than that overwhelms the system. Over the past 3 years, apprehensions have averaged about 6,940 a day, grapefruiters. So even if with a surge in illegal crossings in 2019, this is due to a legal loophole that encouraged illegals to cross with minors, the Trump administration had brought apprehensions down to between 800 and 1,500 a day in his final year in office. The lowest numbers in 45 years. Trump brought it down to the lowest in 45 years, Joe Biden. 4 months into the Biden administration, apprehensions spiked to about 6,000 a day. So from the lowest, 1,500 to 6,000 per day, is how we've progressed in these Biden years. There were 2.4 million apprehensions in 2022, a daily average of 6,575. In 2023, there were 3 million apprehensions, a daily average of 8,219. So we went from 6,500 to 8,200 in a year and a half. Entering 2024, apprehensions here were up to 12,000 to 15,000. Wait a minute. I'm not reading this right, am I? Am I reading this right? From 12,000 to 15,000 per day. And now they're flying them over. The reality is even worse, because these numbers do not include the people who entered the U.S. illegally without being apprehended, the gotaways. A number the Border Patrol estimates but does not make public. That estimate over the past 3 years is 2 million, bringing the 3-year total of illegal immigrants to 10 million, a number equivalent to the population of Greater London or Greater Chicago. From what I heard recently, the number of illegals that have not been apprehended, plus the ones who have been apprehended, are as big as 36 states, grapefruiters. Is this just incompetence? Or is this on purpose? Is this intentional? This is, the imprimis goes on. This crisis is not the result of incompetence, but of purposeful policies. What is more, America's establishment media has largely abdicated its duty to report on the crisis, refusing to acknowledge an event that is having a greater impact than almost any other in the world today. So, what can we do about it? Imprimis says. Number one, well, let's go to this. Prior to that day, the Trump administration had brought the southern border largely under control using four key policies. Diplomatic big sticks. The U.S. gained Mexico's cooperation. We gained cooperation with Central American nations by threatening to freeze foreign aid. That was done. How about two? Remain in Mexico. Border Patrol was required to return apprehended immigrants immediately to Mexico, where they'd wait out long duration of an asylum process. Three, the safe third country. Immigrants who had passed through designated safe third countries, including Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, on their way to the U.S. without applying for asylum in one of those countries were automatically deported. You have to go to the first country. If you're running scared from an army that wants to draft you into their army, maybe, you have to stay at the first country that you find, instead of coming all to the U.S. and said, oh, yeah, we want asylum after passing through five other countries. And, of course, if you came from Romania or Portugal or Afghanistan, you're going to go through a lot more countries. But now they're flying them in. It's not a problem. Title 42, this pandemic control health order required rapid deportations to Mexico without the option to claim asylum. All right. So these are the things that were done. During the 2020 campaign, candidate Biden promised to undo Trump policies within the first 100 days to include ending detention and deportation of illegal immigrants. He's ending detention. This is a great thing for Joe to do. On January 21, he began to follow through. Foreign U.S. policies and New Mexican laws are the chief drivers of the immigration tsunami we see today. Okay, so we see that Joe undid all the things that Trump was responsible for. So we can see what the future holds. Well, maybe not. What does burn, what really burns, is the left trying to make hay out of crap, trying to make silver out of a sow's ear, trying to make something positive out of an obviously a negative situation, an invasion from all over the world. So here's something from USA Today Network in one of our local papers. Study, migrants have net positive economic impact. Really? Americans want to know about this. So we want to let 10 million people in for the last couple of years. It's going to grow even more, but they're all going to have an economic, positive economic impact. Can we believe this? I don't believe this. Columbus, Ohio. A new national study shows that refugees and asylum seekers contribute more in tax revenues than they cost in expenditures to the federal, state, and local governments on average. The report produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services found that refugees and asylum seekers had a net positive impact of $123.8 billion between 2005 and 2019. Now, wait a minute. This is not the Biden years. This is way before Biden. Some of it was Biden-Obama. Let's see. I wasn't surprised by the HHS study results. Health and Human Services says a man named Mark Partridge, Ohio State University, the middle of Ohio. This is middle America. And he just loves the impact that the migrants are having up until 2019. The study found that refugees and asylum seekers contributed an estimated $581 billion to government's revenue by only costing an estimated $457.2 billion in expenditures. And I'm trying to look in this article, Grapefruiters, to find out exactly what the X's and Y's are. What are the facts here? What jobs did they have? What taxes did they pay? What unions did they join? Were they just day workers? Gig workers? No degrees in universities? Do they have Social Security numbers? Were they in jails? Were they in hospitals? Were they in schools taking up space? Did that figure into the equation? During the HHS study, I continue with the USA Today Network. During the HHS study, there are about 3 million refugees and asylum seekers living in the U.S., about 1% of the population, our population, 3 million refugees. Now, we just discussed that there's probably 10 million now. This news article is less than a week old. So they're relying on a study that was finished 10 years ago with only 1% of the population. The HHS study noted several of its own limitations. The study has limitations, believe it or not. For one, it did not incorporate the fiscal impact of refugees and asylum seekers' offspring after they became adults, which it said made it biased toward a costlier result. So let's figure this out. It's biased toward a costlier result. In other words, they don't mention the costlier result, but the way they print it, it's biased toward a costlier result. Since minors, I continue, use more resources and pay less in taxes, duh. So if you have five kids going to school, And mom's having babies in the hospital that we're paying for. And they're going on to college with the Dreamers Act right now. There's going to be a little bit of a downside to this equation. Let me read the headline again. Study, migrants have net positive economic impact. Nothing about 23. Nothing about 23. How USA gets away with putting this in the paper this past week, a net positive, but never mentions what we just talked about, flying over the wall in 2023. So it says the study's 15-year time period also has, quote, its own specific demographic, economic, and geopolitical characteristics, a context which may not be comparable to previous or future decades, it noted. People, this is the journalism of today. The journalism of today. I mean, you could go see a newspaper, and to describe race relations in the United States, they're going to mention the Emmett Till case. They're going to go back to slavery to put this on the front page of your newspaper, just to remind you how racist you are. This is the news. This is the quality of our journalism. The study also did not include analysis of second-order effects, such as how refugees and asylum seekers may affect wages. Oh, really? It doesn't have, it's a study, but it doesn't have a study of how it affects wages of people already here. So the illegals have a positive economic impact on their own communities. But what about on the American communities? The general consensus among economists is that immigrants and refugees and asylees, I don't think we'd be much different, tend to help increase high skilled workers' wages. They complement each other, said Partridge from Ohio State University. People, this is serious stuff. We see 10 million people over there, and they're trying to put lipstick on the pig. They're flying illegals, like eagles, over the wall, and they're calling it legal because, well, it's not random and it's not secret. Oh, no, they're all vetted. They pushed a button. We gave them the money. And now they can fly over 325,000, Mr. Trump says, 325,000 fly over the wall from Cuba, Venezuela, and Haiti. Comforting, no? And another thing. These people coming over, flying over the wall, may not be there to vote. Not right now. But they could be counted in congressional districts. So as people are leaving some of these big red states, the Democrats want to get repopulated. Repopulated just for residents. Because if you just count the residents, there'll be more people in the legislature than they would hope Democrats. As the census counts, they won't have to count citizens. This is what they're striving for. They're striving for illegals to become people that can be counted on to represent Democrats in the state legislatures. Very scary, Grapefruiters. Here's something that'll comfort you. My book, Tales of Young Patriots. You can get it on Amazon. You can Google it. Books a million. You can get it at Walmart. Walmart's got $27.95, though. $27.95 at Walmart. The most expensive place you can buy my book, Tales of Young Patriots, is at Walmart. That's counterintuitive also. My book, Tales of Young Patriots, 12 short stories. Teenagers would dig it. It's 12 short stories about people who are patriotic and young adults being patriotic. Sometimes a mystery today. But we get to refill those libraries. The school libraries need some refilling. Refill them with Tales of Young Patriots. And speaking of patriots, this is one, P. Norman Grant, and we hope you can squeeze in another grapefruit agenda whenever you can.